Random House Audiobooks presents Thriving on Chaos, Handbook for a Management Revolution by Tom Peters. Adaptation performed by the author. There are no excellent companies, says Tom Peters in the introduction to his book, Thriving on Chaos. And in 1987, and for the foreseeable future, there is no such thing as a solid or even substantial lead over one's competitors. Peters says there are two ways companies may respond to the end of the era of sustainable excellence. One is frenzy, buying and selling businesses in the hope of staying out in front of the growth industry curve. The second strategy is paradoxical, meeting uncertainty by emphasizing a new set of basics, namely world-class quality and service, enhanced responsiveness through greatly increased flexibility, and continuous short-cycle innovation and improvement aimed at creating new markets for both new and apparently mature products and services. Tom Peters concludes that if the word excellence is to be applicable in the future, it requires wholesale redefinition. Perhaps excellent firms don't believe in excellence, only in constant improvement and constant change. That is, excellent firms of tomorrow will cherish impermanence and thrive on chaos. Tom Peters, co-author of In Search of Excellence, provides a clear picture of those excellent firms in this audio adaptation of Thriving on Chaos. Tom Peters explains the origins of his prescriptions for a management revolution.
After In Search of Excellence came out, a lot of people said, great book, what am I supposed to do? One of the answers that we came up with was to put on a 5-day executive seminar. When we started these seminars, we'd originally thought that we would have very senior people from the Fortune 500. What it turned out was that we had what I will call real people. We had division general managers from the Fortune 500, plant managers from the Fortune 500, and this huge array of presidents and senior managers and senior middle managers from $50 million companies and $100 million companies and $500 million companies. And the definition of those people was, by definition, people who were darned intent upon doing something, not talking about theory. As a result, we were forced by our customers, whom we do attempt to listen to get very prescriptive, very pragmatic. During one long night, we invented a short list of 7 things that we called the promises, as we then used that really as the basis for all of our teaching and thinking and information collecting. This list of promises grew to eventually 45 in 5 different categories that deal with customers and innovation and people and leadership and support systems. And so the prescriptions really are an effort to take the final or a semi-final step toward taking this whole phenomenon that's been emerging, and the world, of course, has been turning as well in the last 7 or 8 years, and boil it down to something very practical, very action-oriented, and yet something that really captures as well the sweeping and very sophisticated issues that all of us are confronted with. The 45 prescriptions are broken down into 5 areas. There are 10 prescriptions in the arena that we call creating total customer responsiveness, and those 10 essentially boil down to creating an organization that is totally porous, if you will, totally open to the customer, turned inside out. The next 10 deal with the issue of fast-paced innovation. And once more, the issue is the world is changing, turning faster than ever before, so we have to learn to innovate faster than ever before and get everybody involved in the process, which in turn then leads to the third set, and this is a set of 10 that's aimed at the empowerment of people. And it's a set of 10 interrelated factors that go all the way from employment guarantees to pay programs to listening and recognition that once more are aimed at a wholesale transformation of the human capital, the workforce, the people, into a mind-engaged, suggestion-rendering source of value added for the company. To pull all this together are then the final 2 sets of prescriptions. The fourth set deals with leadership, and the fourth set deals with leadership principles that have less to do with objective setting and more to do with really the creation of a vision that is exciting, that's quality-oriented, that's inspiring, and so on. And then finally, the last five are in an arena that deal with the support systems themselves. Personnel evaluation, objective setting, job description, strategic planning, budgetary estimations, measurement systems, because that's really the glue that holds it all together. And an area, I might add, that we've really neglected in the past that is of vital importance.
Creating total customer responsiveness. The first of the five areas, creating total customer responsiveness, arises out of Tom Peters' belief that only those organizations that become attached to their customers, figuratively and literally, and that move most aggressively to create new markets, will survive and prosper. Prescription C for customer. 1. Specialize, create niches, differentiate.
Let's talk about the business of creating markets. Take the bathroom. American Standard has long been the standard setter in providing toilets and other bathroom fixtures. American Standard now has a new product, a $25,000 bathtub and home entertainment center. Honest to gosh, this thing has the video and the audio, and to top it off, there is a remote control deal that puts a camera next to your front door so that you can see who's at the front door by flicking a switch while you're sitting in the bathtub. Number one, people are buying it. Number two, which is really more significant, is what American Standard is attempting to do is redefine the role of the bathroom. And so they've created this incredibly high value-added product. Let's talk about this business of differentiation, of making higher value-added products. One of my favorite companies in the world is the textile maker Millikan & Company. Now, Millikan has a very mundane business called shop towels, which is really a code word for rag. They have taken this shop towel business, created about a $50 million business, growing very, very fast, with exceptional, that is over 50% return on investments. Now, how do you do that with a rag? And Millikan isn't like Ford or GM. Their competition isn't Japan. It's the People's Republic of China paying 16 cent an hour wages. And so here we have a burgeoning, profitable rag business. Well, how do you do it? The simple way that you do it is that indeed you add value to it. The way you sell a rag is you sell it to an industrial launderer who in turn rents it to hospitals, schools, factories, service departments, and so on. So Millikan trains the industrial launderer salespeople. Millikan works with the industrial launderer on quality activities. Millikan's own salespersons go through 22 full weeks of training to learn how to peddle rags. They offer sophisticated computer link-up order entry systems. On and on it goes until virtually Millikan is running the customer, the industrial launderer's business. And in that way, the rag is almost the least of it. They have transformed the rag into a totally different product. So constant differentiation of the most mundane products is really indeed what it's all about.
Prescription C2. Provide top quality as perceived by the customer. With high-quality products and services being provided by new, especially foreign, competitors, and with quality being increasingly demanded by industrial and individual customers, every firm must mount a quality improvement revolution.
Virtually every company I know is, quote, working on quality improvement, unquote, and I would judge that 99.5% of them are given it lip service and just not getting very far. I've come up with my own list of 12 ideas that constitute what I call a quality revolution. The number one at the top of the list is the issue of management commitment, wholesale, thoroughgoing, absolute unwillingness to do anything other than accept the very, very...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?